Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. Let's dive in.
Good morning, Sunrise Church. How you doing today? Amen. Let's keep the worship going. Give God a hand clap. You know, that's such an amazing song. Those that wait on the Lord. The question is, are you waiting on him? I believe we're in two different places. One might be gripping on the faith with all they have. And they're asking God, when? When are you going to release me from this? When? But yet you're still waiting. But there's also those in the room that refuse to wait. And because of your refusal to wait, now you find yourself in the trenches. And you're asking the question, how did I get here? I have an answer for both those questions this morning, or those statement rather. And I want for you to just open your heart and your mind for what God has for you today. Remove all the distractions. If you're going to have your phone on, have it on, following the scripture. Outside of that, turn it off. Because I believe God wants to do something amazing for you this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We're thankful, Father God, that we can come together as a family. Unpack your word and get some biblical truth that's going to help us live a life that's pleasing to you. Your son Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. So it's not the question if we overcome. The question is, are we hanging on the truth of God's scripture? Be with each person here this morning. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been in a series, if you've been following us, it's simply called Flex. And we have been diving in the life of Samson. And I don't know about you, when I was growing up as a kid, I was told many tales about Samson. That he was big and strong. He had long hair. Amen. And he was able to just knock out the enemy in the strength of God. But if you really look at the story of Samson, I think you will find some quite interesting behaviors that he was doing in his life. I don't know about you. We encourage you to read Judges chapter 13 through 16. And we wanted you to see for yourself the lifestyle of Samson. And it's my hope that you actually done that because you will see that Samson wasn't all what it seemed what people cracked up to be. He had some struggles. He had some challenges. He had some isms. He had things that just caught his attention. Samson was one to sway. Samson just did him like many of us today. We're going down our own path. We want to do our own thing. And then when we get in trouble, we want to call out to God. And we say things like, God, if you just get me out of this one, I promise I would never do that again. At least that was me. And that's what you find with Samson here. His behavior was outside of God's will. So we're going to wrap the series up today. And I simply call this the finale. This is when everything is... This is what accounts right here. And for those who have not been with us through these 4 weeks, I want to give you kind of a recap of Samson's life. I want to show you a map. On this map up here, if we can get up on the screen, this is the map of Samson's life. He lived in Judah. He lived from the tribe of Dan. And Samson would wander, and it came a point where an angel of the Lord came to visit Samson's parents. And he simply told them that you're going to bear a son and you're going to separate him. Why? Because I'm going to use him to deliver my people from Israel, or Israel's his people. He's going to deliver them from the Philistines. So they spoke this to the mother of Samson. She ran back, told her husband. He didn't say, "Woman, you're crazy." He took her at her word. And he prays to God and says, "Hey, could you please have him come back? Because I want to ask him some questions." God heard his prayer. The angel of the Lord came back to the mother. Mother goes back and tell hubby. Hubby goes and runs. And now he's having an encounter with the angel of the Lord. And he's simply asking, "How am I to raise this? How am I to make this happen?" He said, "Follow these standards. I want him to be a Nazarite. Don't cut his hair. He's to drink no wine. He's supposed to touch no unclean anything. He's supposed to be sold out for me because I have an assignment for him. And in that assignment, I'm going to deliver them from the Philistines." So in Judges chapter 13, verse 24, it came true. It says, "The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to stir in him." They followed everything the angel of the Lord said. Samson began to grow up in the things of the Lord. Somewhere between the time he grew up and as he got older, Samson begins to do his own thing. He begins to live for Samson. He goes out where he's supposed to not go out. He began to sleep with prostitutes. He began to steal. He began to kill people. And all of this was based on his ego. He was quite crazy. He was quite into himself. He was narcissistic, I believe. He lived a reckless life. But all that came to an end when he entertained the wrong person. He entertained this woman named Delilah. Now, we can't look at Samson like that because we all have our Delilahs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's gambling. I don't know if it's drinking. I don't know if it's yourself. I don't know if it's spending. But we all have this thing that gets our attention. If we don't take care of it, we're going to lose everything. So this was that thing that brought Samson down. He wanted to play a game with Delilah. She said, "How can I get your strength? How can I tell someone to take control of you?" So he took her through these little games. And if you tie me this way, if you do this to me, if you put my hair in a man bun, then I will lose my strength. But then he kept playing and playing and playing. Before he knows it, the Spirit of the Lord left him. And many of us are dabbling in things we have no business dabbling in, not knowing that the Spirit of God has left you, and it comes a point when God says, "Do you." And that's what happened to Samson. And that's where Pastor Steve left off last week in Judges chapter 16. You have your Bibles, turn there with me. This is where we're going to spend the rest of our time today. Verse 21 says this: "Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." Here it is, the mighty Samson, one that will lift up gates, go on a hill. The same Samson that killed 1,000 people with a jawbone. The same Samson that tied the foxes together, put a torch between them, allowed them to go take out the grain. It's that Samson. Now he's at this dark place. He's in this cold place because God had to get his attention. And many of you are in this room because God had to get your attention. So here it is. He's by himself. He's lonely. And he's trying to figure life out. But I like verse 22. It says, but the hair on his head began to grow again. I don't care how bad it is. God is still God. I don't care how dark it is, how bleak it look. If you trust in God and believe in him, he can work it out. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have some consequences coming. But he will take care of his business. So I want to kind of use it as a platform to go into what I want to talk about today. So here it is. Samson is in his cell. He's trying to figure life out. They put him to grinding out this grain. And now we're going to pick up in verse 23. And it says this. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. This was a show, guys. Samson has been causing havoc for over 20 years. And now they finally have him. So here it is, all the leaders, it's five of them, they get together and said, finally, we got him. So now they want to celebrate. They want to give sacrifice to Dagon because finally their God prevailed. To bring it into context, it's kind of like when the United States got Saddam Hussein. It's kind of like when they got Osama bin Laden. Finally, we got him. Now things can get back to normal. Not. So they got it. They finally have him here. They give him sacrifices to their God because finally he's out of the way. But this is the deal. It had nothing to do with Samson, but all to do with God. Because God was using Samson as an instrument so he can show how powerful he is. Verse 24. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slay. As a kid say, Samson was a beast. I mean, he just was killing their kind, and they're giving praise to Dagon, and Dagon was believed to be a god that took care of the grain and all of those things. And he had a human head with a fish body. And here he is giving worship to them. So what does the leaders do? They get them together and say, hey, get everyone. Come to the temple because it's time to celebrate. They're dancing. They're drinking. They're chanting. They're just all excited. And here it is. The mighty Samson is in chains. Look at verse 25. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. Family, when you do things outside of God's will, you give the enemy time to praise. Because of Samson's disobedience, now he's being laughed at. He's being mocked. He's being ridiculed. And now they're saying, bring out Samson. Now, we don't know what he did or how he performed. We don't know how long he did it. But I can only speculate. Maybe they want to see if he was still strong enough. Maybe they never got a chance to see Samson. So now they can see him. And now they're just looking and they're just like, wow. We finally got him. Verse 25b. When they stood him against the pillar, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Could you imagine Samson standing there? He can't see. He's shackled. Everyone is around him laughing. And a little boy is holding his hand, a servant. And he's saying, just walk me to the place where the pillars are. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. Verse 27. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Now the temple was kind of like our auditorium here. It had an upper deck and a lower deck. The upper deck was made of wood, the floor. They would have wooden pillars that would actually hold the top. The floor at the bottom was wooden. However, it rested on the foundation of concrete. So here it is. You have 3,000 people up there. We don't know how many people were down here. So where I'm standing, probably where Samson was standing. So now it's just a spectacle. This room can sit 1,800 people. Just to give you some context of what's going on here. Verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. I don't care how hard it gets, you're one prayer away from God stepping in. I don't care what you're going through. If you just get on your knees and truly pray to God, I think he can make some things happen. It says, Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. I can hear him. Please give me strength. Please give me strength just one more time and let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Now, some of you guys are looking at that text. Wait a minute. He should be saying, God, I thank you. God, I bless you. If you get me out of this one, I serve you. But here you look at the text. Let me get revenge just one more time for my eyes. You fill in the blank with the eyes. And when you pray to God saying, God, if you just do this, if you take care of my beep. So don't get so high-minded where you can't learn from this text. Verse 29. Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one that's left on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he was alive. Now, this seems heroic, but let's look at the story. It hasn't got so bad where God said, well, you should say, Lord, just let me die, okay? Take the story for what it is. I don't know if Samson got between the two pillars and pushed that way. I don't know if he got in front of them and pushed this way. The moral story is God used him in a mighty way to bring victory that God said he was going to do through Samson anyway. So the lesson we can learn here is simply this. And Steve said it the first week, either you're going to get blessings or you're going to get bruises, but God is going to get the glory. So you get to choose on how you want your life to turn out. If God said it, it's going to happen. And exactly what happened. And actually, if you figure he slayed 1,000, he killed many. We don't know how many he killed when he said, I'm going to get revenge, but we know he killed more in this finale than it did his entire life, which means it's never too late to turn your life around. You can always start a new day. Verse 31, then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Ethel in the tomb of his father, and he rested there, but he did 20 years of leading. So after all that was said and done, he was buried with his father in the tomb of his father. Samson's life is over. In my opinion, that's a very tragic story. And it didn't have to end that way. But Samson's life is a microcosm of a macro issue. The book of Judges, the theme is simply everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So we can look through the lenses of Samson and see how wayward Israel became because they was chasing all type of gods, doing everything they wanted to do, and no one really focused on Yahweh. And the story of Samson depicts many of our lives today. Samson lived on the edge, and his behavior showed it. Are you living on the edge? Are you just so reckless with your life that you don't know what tomorrow's going to look like? The truth is, no one is promised tomorrow. At any time, we can be taken away from here, or Jesus could come back and it's over. Are you prepared to give an account for your life? So what can we learn from this story? What can we glean from the story of Samson? This scripture is not on the screen, but I want to read it to you. Take this as a note. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out so that you can endure it. No temptation has seized you except which is common. Everyone is going through it. Some people are going through it. Some people did it and God delivered them. But no temptation has seized you except which is common. But you must get the key word, but God is faithful. If you're hanging on in Christ, he will work it out. But the question now becomes, what are you trying to teach me in this season of my life? So you can actually hold on to your hat and trust God through the process, or you can rely on your own strength and go down the wrong road. And there comes consequences. But God is faithful. So I want to talk to two audiences today. This is a twofold message. And whether you're contemplating stepping out of God's best for your life, or you have already in the trenches of a destructive lifestyle, I want you to know God is faithful. So what can we learn from Samson? I believe God put the story of Samson in the scriptures so that we can know what not to do. How we can say, I see how that turned out for him. I'm going to do the 180 and go that way because I see what happens when people are outside the will of God. Because God told Israel, I will bless you, just don't mingle with other gods. And that's what they did. I also believe God wants us to assess our lives. And in the assessing, he wants to call us to make some changes that's necessary that we can have a life in him. So whether you're hanging on by a thread, which is your faith, or whether you stepped outside of God's will, I want to give you three biblical truths that you can take from this story. Number one is this, if you're writing it down. Know that you're not alone. The enemy wants you to think in your mind that you're the only one going through something. Samson was a loner. If you read through the story, he was always by himself outside of being with prostitutes. I don't think that's good company, especially the last one is just trying to take you out. But I want you to know you're not alone. So whether you're hanging on for your marriage, you're hanging on for your health, you're hanging on, God is faithful. But if you went out there and did something destructive, the same God is faithful. Now over here doesn't mean you're not going to go through your consequences because everybody wants to choose. But no one wants the consequences for their actions. But I want you to know you're not alone. And you're not the only one going through difficult times or difficult circumstances. Look at Samson's situation again in verse 21. Then the Philistine seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in the prison. Now, I don't know how long Samson was in the prison. I don't know how long he had to grind out the wheat. I don't know how long he had to stay in that cold cell. But I wonder, as he was in that cold cell, was he thinking, how did I get here? I was the mighty Samson. I was the one that had notoriety, and I was well known. I had the power. I had the strength. I had the freedom to go where I wanted, when I wanted, but now I'm in this cold cell, forced to do hard labor. I wonder if he was thinking, why didn't I get the clues? And now he's stuck. Why? Because he had no sensors. He had no boundaries, and poor decision after poor decision, now he's reaping the consequences. I wonder if he asked himself, how did I get here? And you may be in this room right now asking yourself, how did you get here? I just went out last night and I just told my friends I would have one drink and now I'm facing a DUI charge. How did I get here? You know, we had a long day at work and the coworkers wanted to just do happy hour. I was just going to have one drink, but now I'm in this cell facing manslaughter. How did I get here? I once had an amazing marriage, but that girl really winked at me and I just couldn't hold back. Now I'm losing my marriage. How did I get here? My parents finally got me in this prestigious school. I'm doing great. If I would have studied all night instead of cheating, I wouldn't be getting kicked out. How did I get here? I wonder if that's what Samson was thinking. And maybe you're in this cold, dark cell mentally, and your situation feels hopeless. It feels bleak, and there's no light. My mother used to say, whatever makes you laugh would also make you cry. Son, be careful who you give your attention to. Son, you don't entertain everybody. Because you're different. And if that's you, I want you to know you're not alone. There are many people that did crazy things before you and God delivered them. You're looking at one of them. Doesn't mean I didn't have some consequences. But if you trust God through the process, he'll work it out. Look at verse 26. Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Despite what Samson was going through, God still brought a helper to help him. He still sent a friend to hold his hand and guide him while everyone else is laughing at him to encourage him. We don't have this servant help him eat. We do know that he was his guide. God always has someone to support you. You're not alone. I like how Paul said it in Galatians 6:1. He says, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. God has always had someone that can help you. Again, I don't care how bad it gets, you're not alone. God has sent a friend. God has sent a family member. God has sent a church. And God will send himself because he's one that never fail you. I like how Moses put in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. You have to be courageous. You have to be bold. You got to say, today is a day that I'm going to stand up because I'm not alone. Why? It says, he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. So whether you have lost the faith, so to speak, and said, I'm going to do things my way, I want you to know you're not alone. Or if you're hanging on by a thread and you're still waiting on God to deliver, I need you to continue to wait. Because he's a God that shall not lie, and he will take care of you. All you have to do is listen to him. So what I want you to do first, number one, simply is this. Know that you're not alone. But this is number two. Know who to call. The reason why many of us are in trouble is because we call the wrong person. You called your mama. Amen. That's why you're in trouble. You called your best friend. You called your father. And you're seeking advice from those who don't have the advice, instead of seeking a God who has all the information that can help you and guide you when times are hard. When Samson was at his low, he knew who to call on. He knew who would have his attention. Look at verse 28. Because this is the word shifted. Samson's mindset shifted. Samson prayed to the Lord. Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more time. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. I believe that when Samson was in that cell, alone, he had a lot of time to think. He had a lot of time to figure out, where did I go wrong? I've been there before. I was in the cell, but I was in my bedroom with the lights off, like, wow, this is what my life's becoming? But Samson began to think. He remembered the same God that made the promise to his parents. He is going to be the one that's going to lead them out of the bondage of the Philistines. He remembered the same God that kept him when he was about to fight the thousand. The same God that was with him when he was doing mischief. He remembered. And I don't care how low it gets, you have to remember what God has done for you. You have to remember that God always has your back. And I believe he just processed that. And he said with this loud cry, like, Lord, just remember me. He was able to get it out and say, it's not about me. It's all about you. I get it now. But I need you to step in one more time. And you may have had bad choices, and you're confused, and you're stuck, and you're just tired. You're spiritually depleted, or you feel bankrupt. But the reason why there's no growth, because you're just holding it in. And the more you hold it in, the worse it's going to get. Listen how David says it in Psalms 32. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then he remembered, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquities. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sins. The reason why many of us are still going through because you refuse to admit that you were wrong. The Bible calls it sin, so I'm going to call it sin. You're doing things that's out of God's will, and he's saying, I need you to recognize that as long as you're doing that, there can be no joy. But once you identify that I did do wrong, Lord, and it's against you, and to you I commit my life, and please forgive me for my sins. It is at that time where the breaking begins. It's at that time where the shackles begin to get removed. That's where God wants us. Until you come to that humility, it'll never happen. And in Samson's story, he's there and he cries out to God. Our God is a God of victory. Remember, this is a twofold story or message. If you're broken, nothing is going to work until you admit. However, for those who are holding on and asking God, when, stay right there. Because it's in that place where God is refining you, he's molding you, he's preparing you for the victory that's soon to come. Which brings me to my third point. Know that you have the victory. You need to know that you have the victory. My mother used to say this statement. I said, Mom, why are you always so happy? Son, you know when you know. What? Son, you know when you know. I can laugh now because I know. You know when you know. You know when you're in God's will. You know when you're doing it God's way. You know that you know. So you can hold on because the victory is soon to come. Now I have to work this point because I'm not going to allow those who have stepped off the tracks in God's will. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be okay when you have consequences coming. The reason why Samson is in a predicament he's in because he didn't follow God. It did not have to be that way. And in your life, it didn't have to be that way. But you chose to do what you did. So you also have to choose the whipping. Amen. Because Samson didn't pay attention to God, now he has no eyes, he's in prison, and he's trying to figure it out. But it did not have to be that way because God told him, if you follow me, you will be okay. Look at Judges chapter 16, verse 4. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Samson had a problem with women. That was one of his problems. But he played the game. And he kept tiptoeing. And then that's what led to his demise. Look at verse 20. Then she called out, this is Delilah, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I go out as before and shake myself loose. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And there comes a point in time in your life where God says, do you. If you want to do you, go ahead and do you. He's going to let you be who you want to be. And there are many people laying under the bridges doing them. There are many people in prison because they did them. There are many people divorced because they did them. There are many people strung out on drugs or addicted to alcohol because they did them. But it didn't have to be that way, and it does not have to be that way with you. God's grace have limits. Look at Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Paul said, though it not be. If you truly changed, then you're truly changed. Your lifestyle should show it. And God used this scenario to get Samson's attention because he just wouldn't listen. And God has me preaching to you today, hoping that you will understand that in him you have the victory. But if you did the consequences, then you must handle it. But one thing I love about God is, God is faithful, God is love, God is merciful. And if you look through the book of Judges, that's what you will see. A theme of God giving Israel chance and chance and chance and chance again. God has given me so many chances I can't count. I just say, God, you're a God of second chances. That's over. God, you're just a God of chances. And look at verse 29 again. Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right on his left. He was able to push with a might and make it happen. I don't care what you're going through. I need you to push. I need you to push through it. I need you to recognize that God is still God. Push through it. I need you first to brace yourself and then push through it. And trust God that he's going to work it out for you. And that's what Samson believed. And by faith, Samson was able to break the columns, which again, broke down the temple, which thus killed more people than he ever killed in his entire life. So if you are outside of God's will, get back in his will, which simply means trust him. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be an uphill battle. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy every day, but what it does mean, if you trust in God, he will get you through it. You just got to trust him. He can turn that marriage around. He can mend those relationships. He can put you back on your feet. You just got to trust him. You can't do it in your own strength, because if you could have, you already have done it. But God is here. If you made that mistake, God is here. But the only way it works is, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then nothing works. See, everybody wants a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. You understand? Many of us flirt with Jesus. Many of us have a crush on him. We give him a present every once in a while. We say, thank you, Jesus, for riding in my car. But if you really want your life to change, you have to give your whole self to him. That's when everything changes. If that's you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And all you got to do is say it from the sincerity of your heart. With everyone's eyes closed, if this is you and God is speaking to you, whether if you don't know him, or whether you're trying to get to know him, or whether you was with him and now you walked away, this is for you. I need you to recognize that you're broken. I need you to recognize that you can do nothing without him. At Sunrise, we call it the ABCs of coming to Christ. You must admit, you must believe, but you next must commit to following him. If that's you, pray with me. I want you to say in the quiet of your heart, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me for my sin. I believe that you sent Jesus Christ just for me. He died on the cross for me. And today I make a commitment to give my life to you now. Here I am, Lord. My answer is yes. I thank you. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If that is you, I want to be the first to celebrate and say, welcome to the family. If you made that commitment, I want to say welcome. But I also want to talk to those who have been walking with God and you're waiting. Continue to wait. Why? Because you see the story. It doesn't have to be that way. God is faithful. He's going to make it work for you. Amen? Let me pray for everyone. But again, just keep pushing in Christ. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. Bless each person in this room, Father God. Cover them and keep them in the name of Jesus. We all give our lives to you. We say yes today. I also want to thank those, Father God, who are giving what belongs to you, Father God, through their tithes and offering. Bless them, Father God, as it's an act of worship. But I know there were some in here who want to give, but they just can't. But I pray they give you their life today. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.